From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with the study of the law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the full force of the Ten Commandments. From the text in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 48, Dr. Cairns has shown that in giving the Ten Commandments, God was not simply interested in men's actions, but he was focusing upon their hearts. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to explain a number of important things which the law accomplishes. It expresses the holiness of God. He is true to his nature, both in giving and in administering the law. Then, it exalts the goodness of God as ultimately revealed in the covenant of grace, God's way of saving sinners. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the collections of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the third epistle of John and verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. The truth was in Gaius, and Gaius walked in the truth. If the first had not been the case, the second could never have occurred. And if the second could not be said of him, the first would have been a mere pretense. Truth must enter into the soul, penetrate and saturate it, or else it is of no value. Doctrines held as a matter of creed are like bread in the hand, which ministers no nourishment to the frame. But doctrine accepted by the heart is as food digested, which by assimilation sustains and builds up the body. In us truth must be a living force, an active energy, an indwelling reality, a part of the warp and woof of our being. If it be in us, we cannot henceforth part with it. A man may lose his garments or his limbs, but his inward parts are vital and cannot be torn away without absolute loss of life. A Christian can die, but he cannot deny the truth. Now it is a rule of nature that the inward affects the outward, as light shines from the center of the lantern through the glass. When, therefore, the truth is kindled within, its brightness soon beams forth in the outward life and conversation. It is said that the food of certain worms colors the cocoons of silk which they spin, and just so the nutriment upon which a man's inward nature lives gives a tinge to every word and deed proceeding from him. To walk in the truth imports a life of integrity, holiness, faithfulness, and simplicity, the natural product of those principles of truth which the gospel teaches and which the Spirit of God enables us to receive. We may judge of the secrets of the soul by their manifestation in the man's conversation. Be it ours today, O gracious Spirit, to be ruled and governed by thy divine authority, so that nothing false or sinful may reign in our hearts, lest it extend its malignant influence to our daily walk among men. Thank you. selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free to 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Be not dismayed, for there is mine. God will take care of you. Beneath his
When God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, He is giving a law that reveals the very nature of God. And when He sets a standard of holiness, that standard of holiness is a reflection of His own holy being. It's very interesting when you read what God says in the law. God does not accommodate the standard of His law to the powers of fallen man. Now, when He brought Moses up to Mount Sinai, Moses was already a sinner. the whole nation of Israel were already sinners. And they went on to prove it. As Moses was up on the mount, they turned to idolatry. And yet God gave these commandments. Do you notice that the Lord never says, now, fallen man can't perform this, therefore I will not require it. He doesn't say that. John Calvin said, in the commandments of the law, God does not look at what man can do, but at what they ought to do. The law reveals the perfection of God, the holiness of God. It says, there is my standard. There is the mirror in which you can see something of the absolute purity of the divine being. And these Ten Commandments, therefore, are a great corrective to the fatal habit of sinners of casting God in their own image. How often men like to do that. I have no doubt there are people here tonight who have done the very same. We read in Romans 1 that idolaters make images of God and they make them to look like four-footed beasts or creeping things. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. But nonetheless, I believe there are people here tonight and you have cast God in your own image. You have set up a little idol of what God should be, what you imagine He must be, and that's what He's going to be. And invariably, when you do that, you do it to make accommodation for your sin. Invariably, when you recast God after your own imagining, it is in order to evade the full force of God's commandments. It's to allow you to sin comfortably and say, well, surely God would not expect anything else. I want to tell you, you should stop such folly, because what God expects, He has put down in His law. That's what God expects. And He's not going to change that. He is infinitely holy. Again and again in giving the law, He gave His reason for His law as, I am the Lord. It's the only reason you need. So that in giving His law, God is true to His own nature. He says, this is what I am. Therefore, this is what I expect you to be. Sinners turn the tables and they say, Lord, this is what I am, and that's what I expect you to be, but you're not going to get away with that. I am the Lord. I change not. The law reveals His holiness. As Isaiah said, quoting the words of God Himself, He is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. But God's not only true to His own nature in giving the law, but also in administering that law. God is not unrighteous when it comes to administering the law. In other words, and this is for some a fearful thought, but think it through with me tonight. In dealing with men, God will always be entirely true to His own holy nature. Any gospel which does not do justice to the holiness and the righteousness of God is not a gospel at all. Any hope of salvation that you may have, any hope that somehow, someday, some way it's going to be all right with you, that does not do full justice to the holiness of God, is a false hope. I want you to understand, the law expresses the holiness of God. But the second thing it does is it exalts the goodness of God. Because God revealed His law, not in wrath, but in love. He revealed it first to Adam before the fall. And that was revealed in love. He revealed it again to fallen man. And He especially gave it to and through Moses in Mount Sinai. And it's very interesting, I've been reading through those chapters in Exodus, and it certainly is very interesting that when God gave the Ten Commandments, He gave them as part of His statement of the covenant of grace. He says, I am the Lord who redeemed you. Now here are the Ten Commandments. He gave them as part of the covenant of grace. And then Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12, he lists the giving of the law as a proof of that grace. He says, I have written unto him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God gives his law out of love. In that law, he lovingly reveals his own perfection. He reveals to us the acceptable way to worship him. He shows us the things that constitute true religion. He doesn't leave us in the dark about these things. These are things that are absolutely vital to our temporal well-being and to our eternal happiness. And so he makes them clear. And not only that, but he also reveals in the Ten Commandments the things that make, could I use the language that has been prostituted by some of the apostates and the false gospelers of our day, but to give the words their true meaning, the Ten Commandments reveal the things to any nation that make for social justice and harmony among the people. I want to tell you, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I want to tell you, I don't care what laws they pass in Washington. I don't care who they elect president. I don't care what the name of your senator is, or who gets to the Supreme Court, or what the rate of taxation is, or what the growth in the national economy is. This is a country that will be cursed and riven by social injustice and division. Person from person, class from class, race from race, as long as God and His law are banned by this nation from its courts, from its schools, and from its national conscience. Because God has given us this to promote that justice and harmony which only God can give. And even the very impossibility of our keeping the law. When you look at what I have said very briefly about the spiritual standards of the law tonight, you realize how impossible it is for us to reach those standards. But even that very impossibility is a revelation of grace. Because, as the great Scottish preacher Thomas Boston said, the commandments require perfection. No partial obedience can be admitted or sustained. The least defect is fatal and exposes to the curse. You say, how could that be love? Well, listen, this ought to be seriously considered, that we may see our need of Christ's blood and righteousness to cover and atone for our obedience, not our disobedience. Now, yes, it does atone for that, but Boston is being very exact here. We need not only an atonement to cover our open disobedience, but even our best attempts at being good. Our best attempts at being good, as we're going to see in just a moment, are altogether vile. But our impossible task of fulfilling the law is to drive us to Christ, that we may find in Him a perfect Savior. So the law expresses the holiness of God. It exalts the goodness of God. And then it exposes the wickedness of man. I want you tonight, if you've never done this before in all your life, I want you tonight to be absolutely honest with yourself. I want you to come with me to Mount Sinai, where God gave the law. And stand there amidst the thunderings and the lightnings and hear the voice of God as He not only writes but speaks the Ten Commandments. Where is the man who can hold up his head before the law of God? Where is the man who can endure Mount Sinai's fiery thunders? Where is the man who can stand face to face with God and hear Him give the Ten Commandments and say, "Here I am, God, I am righteous"? You can't do it. You may compare yourself with others and come to the conclusion you're not such a bad person after all. But God doesn't compare you with others. He brings you to the standard of His law. And that law rips off the facade of decency with which you cloak your sin. As we stand under Mount Sinai, every one of us stands condemned as a lawbreaker. You hear God go down the 10 words, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We stand there and we confess we have not worshipped God with a pure and a constant love and devotion. We hear the second commandment and we have got to confess we have not worshipped in spirit and in truth. We can never say that our worship has always been scriptural, pure, hearty, and spiritual. We have lacked that deep reverence and that awesome fear of the name of God. We have even used the name of the Lord lightly, not only in conversation, but perhaps even in our praying. We have not counted His Sabbath a delight, but have profaned it. Sometimes even why we pride ourselves in keeping it. Lest you think that a little thing, let me tell you, God in many parts seems to take that fourth commandment and lift it up as the touchstone to see just how anxious people are to obey Him. And I want to tell you, the people who trample the Sabbath day beneath their feet and think little of it, think just as little of the God who gave it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.